Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. And it's the first one of the new season. We're all looking great. We've shed a few pounds. We're all looking tanned, toned. Simon Ferry's even managed to get one day of pre-season in before the big kick-off with Peterhead. And Hugh McDonald, as he's known in the media industry, the Adonis of the sports writing world, is looking absolutely tip-top. Hugh, you looking in better nick than Simon.
Yeah, I'm not Adonis, I'm the Adonis, right? That's me. And Simon, I love Simon's one day of pre-season that he's got under his belt. Unfortunately, it was 4 years ago. But he's looking good.
He's looking tanned, isn't he?
You're looking good as well, mate. You been ill?
You know, Hughie's back by popular demand after his outrageous team of the year that sparked so much controversy and debate. We thought, who better to kick off the new
2018-19?
Right in about them. So that's what we want. We've got more of the same coming up. We've got some great topics to talk about. Obviously, the new signings at the different clubs, pre-season, what clubs have been up to, what we like about pre-season, what we don't like about it. And just some good results in Europe so far, which has given us all a wee lift. But can we keep it going and can our clubs get through to the group stages of the Champions League and the Europa League? So we'll kick off with Hugh and Simon. Delighted to say they've joined me. I'm Mark Guidi. And we are going to start off with the transfer business so far. Our 12 top teams, Hugh, there's been a lot of activity. Who's impressed you in terms of the business done so far?
It's been really strange because Celtic in a way did their major business early because they got Odson Edward, and I think he's the best signing. You know, getting him tied down, I think, is another league, you know, because he's obviously the top sign. So it's been quite interesting what Celtic are still to do. I think there's an awful lot of work to be done in the transfer. There's going to be an awful lot of stories, especially with the English. You know, once the English transfer window closes, August the 9th, players then in England will know exactly what's what about them, and then Scottish clubs can come in. If you're asking me, just right off the top of my head, I think Edward's been a good signing for Celtic. I think Goldson, centre half with Rangers, that's precisely what they needed, a strong dominating centre half. I think Hearts have looked to have really done quite well, and I'm quite surprised at how, given all the signings that have made, they seem to be hitting the ground now on Sunday running. And lastly, I think the most interesting one, and Simon will probably be able to talk about this more than me, is Tony Watt at St Johnstone.
Come on, Tony boy.
Because I think, apart from the Barcelona goal, which everybody knows about, and you can take that to your grave if you're Tony Watt, I watched him a few times at Celtic, and I actually thought, this is me, great prediction, man. I said, you know what, he's not only going to be a Celtic centre forward, he could be the answer for Scotland. Mm. He's strong, he's quick, he finishes very confidently, he fancies himself, which I like in a footballer. Mm. So, having had that real dip in his career, I think he's an interesting one. I think it's interesting as well, he scored a couple of goals at St Johnstone, I'm just wondering if that's the kind of place where he'll do well.
And also, I would imagine Tommy Wright could be, at this stage, from the perfect manager.
Definitely. I think Tony needs an old school manager who's going to be honest with him. I think you get that with Tommy Wright. St Johnstone, hard to beat. And I think the two things they needed was a goal scorer. Right. I think since Stevie May, they've not really had somebody that puts the ball. Steve McLean's good link-up player, but I don't think he's a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. I think Tony will score goals there. And the boy, Matt Kennedy, who was at Portsmouth last year, he is a right good player. Scottish boy that's went down south. I think him being wide, creating chances, something that they missed as well. Mm. They're really well organised, hard to beat, and I think that was two areas that St Johnstone needed, was a creative player and a goal scorer. And I think Tommy Wright's done well because his business last year baffled me with wee Scoogle, and that I didn't think he was his type of player at all. I think he signed St Johnstone players this year, and I fancy them to have a good season again.
So could you see, for example, if we take it as Red, Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen as your top three in whatever order, maybe Hearts and Hibs certainly in there. It's kind of as if there's only one place up for grabs. Can you see St Johnstone nicking in ahead of
Kilmarnock? I think it'll be Kelly between Kelly and St Johnstone. I don't think Kelly will have as good a season as he had last year. I think it's hard for that level of player to keep that consistent over 2 years. I think Kilmarnock could have a wee drop this year under Steve Clark.
See, the other thing as well, you'll know better than me, Is there a second season thing that if you played, everybody in the league, well, most teams in the league will have played Kilmarnock four times last year. Is the second season more difficult because of that?
I think so. I think teams will pay more attention to you. They work harder against you. I mean, like, they build up to the week against Kilmarnock. But I think the pitch helps them massively. Aye. You know, it's a big advantage for Kilmarnock, I think, to play on that pitch. But for me as well, if Boyd gets injured for Kilmarnock, he's getting on now, you know, he's getting older. I think if Big Boyd gets an injury, I think who's going to score goals? Goals for him?
I've got Lee Irvin, I've got Eamon Brophy. I like Brophy.
So Brophy is a good player.
I was surprised that Brophy went for Hamilton. I don't know what the script was there.
He
couldn't get a
game. He wasn't that good enough fighter for Hamilton, was it? They only signed scrappers, man.
Well, talking about Hamilton, do we see, if we flick to the other end of the table, do we see Hamilton, Livy and St Mirren? Is it too easy just to say the three of them will scrap it out at the bottom?
Probably my three, but I always tip Hamilton for relegation. Yeah. It's the start of the year. You know how people go in, like, I've got to get that scarf out of the cupboard and iron it. Where did I leave that season ticket? My start to the season is Hamilton are going to get relegated. But this year, and it's terrible news for Accies fans, I don't think they'll all get relegated. I think Livingston will go down. But I think Hamilton and St Mirren I'll fight out the playoffs.
See, in the Livingston thing though, other than him being a manager, I think Kenny Miller as a player is an amazing signing for Livingston. I think Aberdeen take Kenny Miller on a free transfer as a player. I think Hibs would take him. Lenny talked about taking him. I think Hearts would take him as well. So there's three of the top teams in the league that would take Kenny Miller, I would imagine, as a player. So for Livingston to get a player of his, him and Lee Miller up front, that's a good partnership. I think
it is, Simon, but I'd have to caution that in terms of, first and foremost, he's a manager. And I don't know how you can do the two. I don't, you particularly when you are going to be scrapping for points.
Exactly, when it becomes, I mean, I remember Dalglish's first season at Liverpool where he won the double as manager, he certainly won the league.
He did win the double.
And I thought it was fantastic for him because not only did he, I mean, he's not going to have to sort of G up players, he's playing with a fantastic team, and he also had that boot room getting a lot behind him, Moran's, etc. So that was better, and he obviously had guys like Peter Robinson in the boardroom who were doing the buying and the selling. But if you're Kenny Miller at this point in the season, apart from the fact of getting players in and it, this is going to be a long, hard season for any manager. A long, hard season. You're going to have to be making decisions. It's a wee squad. You're going to have to be managing things, trying to manage things. You're going to run the training. There's actually players that have to be really heavily coached and set pieces. And I think that'll all be a drain on him. I mean, he's full of energy, we know that, but that's a huge job, I think, to play. Especially to play where you're going to be one of the main hopes for goals.
Yeah, also as well, what we do want to see is a young Scottish guy who's got ambitions to become a manager. He's gone through his badges. He's worked under some of the best managers in the game, for Walter Smith to Gordon Strachan, that you think you want him to succeed. You'd love to hear a story in May of next year that Livy have managed to stay up, wouldn't you?
Well, that'd be him succeeding.
Absolutely, yeah.
He gets a playoff spot. It's, you know, open top bus through Almondvale Town, you know, through through Livingston Outlet Centre. Get one of the open top bus round there.
Got that suit?
We're not going to take it back after this podcast.
To be fair, the strip matches his face as well, doesn't it? His face is the same colour.
They'll do a tour of the Tony Macaroni restaurants, won't they? But no, we wish Kenny well. Another new manager in there as well, Alan Stubbs. At St Mirren, we know all about Alan with his success at Hibs a few years ago. But again, you look at the squad and you think it could be just a mini league.
He's a top man. Remember, he done an interview for us. I really, really enjoyed speaking to him. But signings have worried me. I mean, they've not had a great start to the season, and I don't get why the manager's bringing 6-7 loan signings for down south. Boys that have never played a game, because they're in for a shock when they come up to the SPL. They are in for a shock.
Maybe they've no choice, Simon.
No, but I'm saying for him to sign them.
Yeah,
Stubbs.
But I'm saying maybe he's looked around and
you think of the free transfers that are out there, boys that have played in the league, tried and tested. I would go with.
Well, who do you? I'm saying that there's obviously a reason why he's had to go down that road.
But they had a good base for last year, didn't they? They never lost many players. I think they lost the boy up front, Riley, who scored all their goals. Maybe bringing a striker.
They've lost Morgan to.
To Celtic. But I mean, one or two I understand, but I think it's maybe four or five he's brought in. I mean, the squad for last year, they will not like it. Four or five boys coming in for England, you'll end up with four or five boys being a wee clique. Yeah. It always happens, believe me. Four or five boys coming up for England, there'll be a wee clique. The boys that were there last year saying, what's going on here? Four or five boys. I mean, one or two or three signings that are going to be part of the team, I think much better for a team coming up.
Okay, Hugh, let's go down then, go 12, 11, 10.
12, 11, 10 for me would be, let's think, Livingston 12, St Mirren 11, Hamilton 10. I think Hamilton's experienced in the league might, and they've done quite decent business. They've got kind of tried and trusted, and they've got the core of their team, so they would be my 10.
Okay.
So I would go along that with Hugh's prediction there. I think Hamilton will stay up again.
And let's flip up the stair then to 1, 2, 3.
Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but I agree with you again. Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen.
It's hard to bet against it, and I agree with you.
We won it last year, so.
But one bit of business as well, Hibs getting Canberra.
Well, I
think, time.
Well,
what a player. Well, for this level, I think.
I don't know how to see like someone. I said, they're not going to get him. Yeah. You know how you get a loan signing and you say you're hoping he does well for you? And then when you've got an option you sign, you start thinking, I hope he doesn't do too well because he's doing well enough. I think that's an amazing sign to get him
back. I thought Rangers would go for Canberra after the
end. I think he's got everything. He seems a really good finisher. He seems cool head, but his link-up play is smashing
he's
as well.
He's a strong boy.
He's poacher instincts. That the winning goal that he got in Europe last Thursday night. Going across the city in Edinburgh to Hearts, you mentioned how good Kimbeni, as you said, saying you thought Rangers might go for him. They are going for Kyle Lafferty. Is Kyle Lafferty, who I know you've watched Rangers pre-season, is Kyle Lafferty the missing piece in the jigsaw for Steven Gerrard?
A Kyle Lafferty type definitely is. I think the way he's playing and the times he's played with really a very creative three, you know, behind him, two sort of wide men and a number 10.
They had a good relationship with Naismith as well, didn't they?
And I think you've got is a Kyle Lafferty type in his, because Morelos will not hold the ball up for you. Morelos will not join up play. I think Morelos gets slaughtered too easily, by the way. He can score goals and he's a young boy and he's coming on. But he's not the guy that you're going to go to say, let's hit this long diagonal and somebody's going to go on it. Or when we're under pressure, which they will be at times, let's go long out of defence and just get somebody that can hold it up till we all get up. So I think a Kyle Lafferty type of player is definitely what they need. Whether Kyle Lafferty is the type, I don't know. If you look at his form with Hearts last year, you suggest, you know what, if they get him for the right price, why not?
Is he Lafferty an out and out number 9? Can you see a partnership with Morelos?
Do you think
it will still be like one up top, or can you see Gerrard being tempted to try and marry the two of them together?
I think it all depends on the teams they play against. I mean, I can't see him going two up front against Celtic at Celtic Park, you know. And I think if that was the game, Lafferty would be the one that would play.
What about the other 30 odd games where you'd be expecting Rangers to be on the ball?
If you're coming on the ball, you could go to it up front, definitely. We played against Lafferty last year in the League Cup, and he's a good player. You know, you didn't realise how good somebody is until you play against him. I always say that with Kenny Miller as well. People didn't realise how good a player Kenny Miller is, but Kyle Lafferty is in that bracket as well. I mean, he's great at holding the ball. As you said, Morelos can't do that.
What's his transfer value? I would say, without putting a figure on him, I would say it's more than $300,000. But what do you?
A year left on his deal.
A year left. I'm not sure. Is he maybe 31?
A million pound.
I would say if they went half it. I think if Hearts got half a million for him, I think they might take him for the reason that. I think they're pretty convinced that, you know,
he wants to go and play for Rangers.
And then if they get him over and gone down quite well, they've got half a million, and that's an awful lot of money in the market that Hearts are playing. And, you know, many players is that? If you're paying players in for $1,000 to $3,000 a week, half a million gives you a bit of leeway in the transfer market.
Craig Levein's told me to experience a manager to try and persuade the boy to stay, because he'll know his head's been turned. He wants to go to Ibrox, which is understandable. You can understand that. I think you're right, Hugh. If Hearts could get 500,000-600,000 in a winner, not over 3 or 4, installments that allows
Hearts to go. A big loss for Hearts because he's pivotal to the way they play. You know, they're very direct and they play up to Lafferty a lot.
That's right.
So they need to bring someone in quick.
They've got this, the boy Catchy, or they played on Sunday, and he looked very powerful. Whether he can quite hold the ball up, he's certainly powerful enough to hold the ball up. But what he's pretty good at was getting on the end of things. He's very, very quick. And I've got Naismith. Yeah. So I think at that level, Naismith's a good player.
Definitely.
I think that if you look at the Hearts recruitment, I think they've probably had an inkling that Kyle Lafferty could have been on his way. If you look at the recruitment,
I think you're bang on there, because I think one thing about Levine, Lean gets a lot of criticism left, right, and centre, but he's never had a criticism for not being cute. He knows how he set up a team, and he knows how the game works. He's been in it so long, he knows about things. He's not going to be, you know, greeting an Ann Budge. So, Kyle wants to leave us, what we're going to do? He knows bang on what's going to be happening here, and he'll be working it quite properly to Hearts' advantage. You know, so
Hearts
that's interesting.
Could get Kevin Kyle back in. Right. Big man's looking fit again, getting back in to take the place. Fantastic, but Ollie Lee's a good player as well, by the way. Ollie Lee for Luton. Three of my good pals play with Luton, and really impressed with him last year.
Sorry, you've got three good pals. Sorry, I just the one club that he's taken that too far.
One, seems to say one. If I know three guys down there.
I'll need to dig out that old Jim.
Three really good,
Jim,
three
Jim
really
Carrey,
good
liar,
mates.
Liar DVD when I get home.
Do you want us to name them?
Who?
Do you want us to name the boys?
No,
we don't. Names. No.
You made a fool of yourself already. Just sit where you are, and Mark and I.
See, I can't use a mate. So that's how close I am. I can't use a mate. So it's. Do you know what I mean?
But when you look at, but just getting back to the business at Celtic, as you said, that record transfer fee. The guts of £9 million on Hudson Edwards, which looks as though it's going to be terrific business. But some grumblings from Celtic supporters thinking, well, there should be more done, there should be another one or two faces in at the club. Is that fair, Hugh?
I think the more interesting thing, because fans will, and I'm not being dismissive of fans, but fans will always do that, that's what fans are there for. I think what's really interesting in the Celtic thing is the Brendan Rodgers stuff over there. As a press man who doesn't now go to a lot of press conferences, I still consume all that stuff. And that general thing that he does, is there a sense? I don't know. Is there a sense where he's getting a wee bit cheesed about the last?
Certainly the media are now analysing
every word. Literally every word. Down to the word club.
They suspect
he keeps using the word club. He keeps using the word club. And I think, I think that there will be tension at that. I think what most fans would be annoyed about was the Simonovic situation. You can't really moan about a guy getting sent off, because that happens. You know, imagine if a guy just pulled a hammy going into a tackle. Mm-hmm. That happens. To just leave yourself one centre half away from a bona fide crisis seems to me to be, you know, almost negligent, you know, because you knew what was going to happen with Boyata, etc. You knew the situation with Henry coming in. So when it happens, a guy gets sent off, suddenly we're in, you know, in Scottish media, we're all going, this is a crisis. Now, Celtic have weathered it because, you know, results over the past few weeks. But I certainly think, I mean, if I was looking at it, I certainly think they need another central defender.
You think they should be strengthening, Simon?
I don't know. I don't think they should get a central defender. I don't think the money that Celtic will pay wages-wise, fee-wise, I don't think they'll get a centre half that'll come in and it'll be better than Simonovic and Boyata. I really don't. And then you've got, what, five centre halves? Comper still there.
Aya.
Jack Henry, Aya, who's done well.
Yeah.
And Celtic fans wanting signings all the time. I don't think that's the way to go. Be successful. Three and four players coming in every summer. One or two players that they've got here are good enough. I mean, who do you take out the starting 11 for Celtic just now? Who do you sign that, and who would come at the starting 11? If you're talking Edouard, Dembele and Forrest as your front three, Rodgick, Brown and Cham, who comes in?
I think what you do with Celtic is you're bringing in reinforcements. I think, like, for example, when I say a centre-half, if Compere had been what you would have thought he would be, a Leipzig centre-half at 32, plenty of experience and all that, decent. But him not being there, I think, is a big miss for them. I agree with, because I think that's why Celtic are pretty relaxed over the whole John McGinn thing. Mm-hmm. A, he's a kind of Kyle Lafferty in hoops, and that he wants to leave his club. And B, if you actually went down to the final analysis, you're saying John McGinn doesn't start for Celtic.
No, mm-hmm. I agree.
He just doesn't.
Not at the moment.
So in a year's time, when Brown's got another season in his legs, and you know, does he then become a 20-30 match a season man? Absolutely, he does. Mm. But not now. So I think that's why Celtic are quite relaxed about that pursuit.
And then I hear Celtic fans saying sign a right back, and then you sign a right back. You've got Lustig, Gambo, and another. You've got three right backs.
You've got Ralston as
two
well.
Two guys no playing on good money. I mean, it's. I think they're fine the way they are.
I hope that, I mean, we hope that you're right and you want Celtic to get into the Champions League, but you just wonder that another quality centre half coming in, because you look at the last two qualifications in the summer, they're hanging on with the skin of their teeth. Israel, it was an outstanding performance that night from your old pal Kolo Touré that helped. Last season, hanging on again after taking a commanding.
It's all about the qualifiers, Mark, because they could have got Van Dijk back. They could say to themselves, we'll give Liverpool Celtic Park and we'll take Van Dijk back. We'll just lease Celtic Park. Would he make any difference in Champions League group stages? Would he? So what you've got to do is you've got to buy a level of player that's going to get you in the Champions League, and then maybe when you drop down to Europa League, it gives you a wee bit a chance. I agree a wee bit, but it's... I think when you get older and you get away from this, you know, sign. I mean, you know yourself, there was a great story, and apparently that Celtic had a £6 million right back, just about signed, sealed and delivered, and the boy went to Valencia instead. You say to yourself, I'm in the Simon's camp a wee bit with that. What does Celtic need a £6 million right back for? To get into the Champions League stages, maybe, but once you're in there, it doesn't make a difference, and he's not going to win the league for you. You know, he's going to be a domestic.
I would think they should identify a centre half as best they can, you know, because also as well, you can't take your eye off the ball. You would expect that there's going to be a proper title race this season. You would expect certainly Rangers, the way they've been recruiting and the money that they've spent. But where I have sympathy for Celtic is that I think it's easy to say go and buy a centre half. And maybe the Celtic supporters have been spoiled in the past few years because of the success of Van Dijk getting them for a couple of million, selling them. Because you look down the road, I always cite the example, there right now, Alfie Mawson, Swansea, team relegated, £20 million quid to go to Fulham or to go to Burnley. Michael Keane, £25 million quid for Burnley to Everton last summer. Ben Gibson, centre-half at Middlesbrough, rated at £25 million.
So you're going to get a centre-half for £5-6 million.
So where do you get the exactly. That's what I'm thinking. And that's obviously your scouting and your contacts come into play. But I do think, as much as I can understand, there's frustration for Celtic supporters, maybe for Brendan Rodgers. But on the flip side of it, I don't think it's easy just to, even if you've got Odson Edward money, even if you say we've got 8 or 9 million to go and get a centre half and we'll give him 30 grand a week, I don't think it's, because there's no point in spending that money just for the sake of it. You've got to get it right
nowadays the market is so heated that you're right. I mean, if you're going for centre half, you're going to places like where Rangers went to get Katic, you're going to Croatia and you're taking a chance on players. What you've got to remember is that everybody that Celtic have signed, they're basically taking a chance on. Even Edward was coming with a wee bit of checkered past. Ayer was a young boy.
Cham was untested.
Went to Genoa, wasn't he, pulling up trees in Serie A?
Sinclair was
completely off the boil. So there's been... They're always thinking. I always remember, you know, when John Park, who had a stellar rate of success, you know, people used to slag when players like, you know, like Baldy, the big centre forward,
came in,
they remember, and guys like that. And I said, well, that's what you're doing with these guys. You're just saying, listen, it's like a £1 million down. Let's hope you get a gamble. And if it doesn't, you write that off against the you know, what you're going to get for the Fosters, Wanyamas, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very, very difficult market. And it's a market where, by definition, Celtic are in a market where they've got to buy young and hope, or they've got to buy old and going off the boil a bit. That's the truth of the matter.
There's some amount of injuries, though. I mean, I see for a club like City, the injuries that, I mean, Dembele's been injured a lot. Griffiths injured, Simunovic is injured a lot. If they had a fully fit squad, I wouldn't bring anyone else, but there's that many injuries that seem to happen here that maybe you're right, another centre half.
For Rangers, we've been speaking about Kyle Lafferty, just finally to round it off, Steven Gerrard still looking for a centre half as well. His bid's turned down for Jake Cooper at Millwall, trying to get a boy on loan. On loan from Man City. So centre halves again, he's identified that, you know, still needing strengthened. couple of quick questions. Do you think Rangers will get a centre half and Kyle Lafferty before the end of the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do.
And B, John McGinn to Celtic from Hibs before the end of the window?
I'm less sure about that, only because I don't think Celtic are, you know, as I said, for reasons I stated earlier, are that desperate.
I think he'll go to Celtic. I think Lenny will want him at Hibs. I think he'll want a bit of money.
What's a fair fee for him, Simon?
I would say £2 million.
£2 million fair.
And maybe put Scott Allen there as well.
£2 million plus Scott Allen.
I think so.
Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, 31st of August is when the transfer window closes. Just looking at Lanarkshire as well. We'll spoke a bit about Ackies, but what about Motherwell? They've got through in the Betfred Cup. Mm-hmm. Got to both cup finals last season. What kind of season do you expect Stephen Robinson and the squad to have?
An 8th or 9th finish, I would say. I watched them on Saturday against Clyde. I thought they were really poor. Mm. Really poor. I mean, I didn't think there was much difference between the two teams. Mm-hmm. Again, a bit like St Johnstone, very well set up, very workmanlike, but they've not got a playmaker in the middle of the pitch. It's just so predictable, Motherwell's play. They kick the ball up to the two strikers and play off second balls. Mm-hmm. I like the wee boy Alan Campbell and I like the boy Chris Cadden, but yeah. I think they're a lot of hard work and graft. And there's no guy in the middle of the pitch that I see putting through balls through to people or getting the ball wide to people. And I think that's what Motherwell will be. They'll be hard to beat again. They'll get a couple of good results because of their strikers, but ultimately I think it'll be an 8th or 9th finish for them.
Press rewind and absolutely. I mean, Simon Pyman is now his name. He's one of his big pals. He says I'm his pal. So,
fancy a trip to Luton? A couple of your mates.
I'll be if I go down to Luton, I'll meet her four mates in the whole world. So I'll definitely get there. There's an airport there, never, Simon. Definitely. No, I agree. I think bang on with 8th as well. I think 8th is probably what they'll get. I think we've went through the top five and we've went to see Kilmarnock and St Johnstone will vie for 6th and 7th. I think Motherwell will probably be best of the rest.
You're giving that this
definitely. I think the defenders are good. Keeper I like, Hartley I like.
Goalie's good as
well. Goalie's good. I played with Trev at Portsmouth, another one of my mates. Trev is really good. But so they've got a, as I say, they're well set up, but it didn't excite me going forward.
Out with Celtic Rangers, or include Celtic Rangers if you wish, but our other 10 top flight clubs, the English transfer window closes August the 9th. I've got, you know, 9-10 days to go. Can you see anybody up here in their top flight being a target for down the road and going down there before August the 9th?
Yeah, I can. I think there might be one or two. I think there's definitely murmurings around Celtic players, though. I think Celtic won't sell. There's no need to sell.
Which
players? Robin
Charms. There's very strong stuff coming from London about him. I've had to talk with
West Ham.
West Ham, which and other clubs as well. There's some Brighton. I think I've had a look at them as well. I think Charm has. Celtic's, you know, apart from the front two who are spectacular, and Charm's really good bit of business.
Right, I can't say lovely football player in the
second half of the season, didn't he? Yeah. Chipping in with goals. They bought him for 4.5. What is his value then?
Double that now. Mm-hmm. You've got to look at the English market, particularly the English market, and what Celtic have done is they've been pretty hard with the English market. Now, remember the times of when Yamago and Foster, etc., or even and Van Dijk going for that 10, 12 mark. I mean, Peter Lowell and Celtic board have been looking at guys like Tom Kearney in England being valued at 25 million and saying, well, do you know what? Callum McGregor's keeping him at the Scotland team. Mm-hmm. So we maybe have to be more realistic of what we're selling for now, because I like that attitude that's coming over in the press with the Tierney money. You know, if there's a recognition that he might go one day, but if he goes, it's got to be top dollar. But I think in Charm, and I think it's a good business prospect for Celtic, and it's a good prospectus to have, that they get these guys like Charm, and they probably say it to them. I don't know if they'll say it to them verbally, but they make it known to them, listen, you come to us, you'll play in a big stadium, you'll play in the Champions League, hopefully, we'll pay you good money, you know, you're not going to be spent, but when you just look at what we've done for Wanyama, Van Dijk, blah, 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 you can get moved on. And I liked Encham from the beginning because I really like good technical players. And he's that goal against Rosenborg, but everybody forgets what he actually did. The curling finish is going to be. It was like, I'm going to say it, because he's my new pal. It was fairy-esque.
I'd have been on Mars.
I mean, watched him a few times when he first came.
Me and Cham.
All right, Cham. I never made up with
Get your cut, I think it.
All my pals are out of prison up there now. I thought he tried the kind of World Cup Willie pass too often. You know, the 40, 50 yard diagonal. I think he's kind of simplified. I mean, he'll still have a go, but I thought, I'm thinking, maybe he was just trying to eager to impress at first, you know.
And he was trying to force his way in the team. Now, I think a lot of times there's a double edged sword. See, if you're in the team, obviously there's an age of complacency, but I don't think that exists here at Celtic Park because, you know, because of the competition for places. And I think once you get a good run in your team, you say to yourself, what I'm doing is keep me in the team. I don't have to do that. I agree with you. I don't have to tear that one out of my feet and ping it 40 yards. I can just, you know, turn back myself. And but he has got that ability, Mark, to make the colour pass.
That colour pass is brilliant. Yeah. And if he adds goals to his game, then you're talking crazy money for him.
So Hugh thinks, look, there's always interest in Tierney, interest in Cham, whether that comes to bids or not. Out with Brendan Rodgers' Celtic squad, Simon, is there anybody up here that you can see being the subject of a bid to the English top flight before August the 9th?
Josh Windass, maybe? Taught at Cardiff. I like Windass, I think he's a good player. I think his head's up his arse, but I think he's a good player. He can play in a number of positions, up front, wide, middle.
His head's up his arse because he's not a starter at the moment?
I think he's just got a lot of carry on his head. Quite a lot of people his age. But I think if he was to really knuckle down, and I think Steven Gerrard's probably the manager for him to do it, knuckle down, get his head on his football, I think he could be a right good player, Windass. It absolutely baffled me when Gerrard played Candace in centre midfield and Windass wide. For me, Windass is in the middle, because he can get you goals, he can run.
But do you think there's a feeling there, though, with the Gerrard thing, the way he's picking players in there, that basically, you know, there is a short window and Windass and Fodderingham are sitting in it? I'm always pretty certain that, you know, it's almost like an open secret that they're up for sale.
Yeah.
Is it, huh? I don't know.
You'd imagine as well, but when you look at, I think it's a minimum 10 players in at Rangers now. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, they will have really increased the wage bill, albeit Alves is away, Cardozo is away, but I'd imagine they would have had to get a sweetener to leave. So you look at that, it stands to reason that West Fordham, they can get a couple of quid in a transfer fee, get them off the wage bill, whether it be Dean Windass, Josh Windass or someone else. There has to be a bit of balance in the books, not only for what they've done this summer, but they'll still be trying to play catch up from last summer. You think the way the Rangers board back Pedro Caixinha,
disastrous. I honestly to this day cannot understand the whole Caixinha thing to this day. I'm not saying that
with the benefit of hindsight.
On the day that Caixinha was coming to the airport to get picked up by the Rangers, I spoke to somebody and what we would call Rangers high command, and they were saying, oh, the new manager, and I said, honestly, you know, it could be success, but I do not know in what world and what conversation you all sat down and went, this is the man to take this club forward. I just don't know how that conversation went.
Certainly last July, after the defeat to Progress, that should have been it. Your manager had to bite the bullet there and then, and just...
Nah, he just takes to him, manager's in a bush.
We'll see what happens. So we've had a good start. That's us 32 minutes into the programme. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say, joined by Open Goal's very own Simon Ferry, just fresh from his Kevin Kyle extravaganza, which is going down a storm.
Brilliant.
And
absolutely brilliant it was too.
Thanks, Hugh,
one of the top men in the media and Scottish sports writing. Hugh McDonald is also with us. We're going to look at pre-season. You just look across the water now, all the kerfuffle that's going on with Jose Mourinho and Manchester United. Mourinho just
he's a clown, isn't he?
Just not having it. Is it our clubs don't really over there now? Celtic involved one or two of those big Champions Cup winners. But you look at our pre-season now, Simon, it's a lot shorter because of our involvement in early European qualifiers. Does that impact on players just in general fitness, getting, you know, right up to that tip-top level, the fact that it's a shorter pre-season, or do players just really look after themselves 12 months of the year now?
The top players do. Their pre-season was... nah, to be fair, I think the top players look after themselves. So. I think this is the longest break Celtic have had, Brendan Rodgers was saying, for a while. But guys like Aberdeen and that coming, but what, they get 2 weeks off? It's nothing, is it? Two or three weeks off?
Yeah, three.
Come back and then into European football. But you see Aberdeen the other night against Burnley, first game back, they look great, I thought. Yeah. Really fit. And it's a testament to the player, but also the manager as well. I think Aberdeen players really respect him. I don't think any of them would come back overweight or unfit. They'll come back knowing we need a challenge for second again this year. If we don't, we'll not be here. So fair play to the boys, because like I say, it's a long hard season and it is tough, mentally tough as well. For only get 2 weeks, 3 weeks off, and to come back in great nick, it really is a testament to the players, because I couldn't have done it. Do you know what I mean? I'd be 3 weeks on the
booze. Did you enjoy? Going back 10-12 years ago, did you enjoy it?
Gordon Strachan's was the worst.
Aye.
Off. The first day of every pre-season was a race. 400 metre track, 12 minute run. You had to get 8 laps minimum. Big John got about 5 laps.
John Hartson.
You'd laugh at me. Go on, lad. Big John just trotting about. But Paul Telfer was an absolute shambles.
Where's Big John from? was it Chicago or something, was it?
Paul Telfer was a joke. Paul Telfer, 30, 32, 30, maybe even older.
That's a fiddle.
Oh my God. Machine. And Strachan loved him. Aye. Just watch Telf. Watch Telf. Try and if you have half a career, Paul Telfer, I'm thinking, that's played for Coventry, man. What are you talking about? But when you seen him in pre-season, he was a joke. And Brownie was the same. Scott Brown bleep test was unbelievable. Remember the wee guy Landry and Gwemlin?
Oh yes.
Tony Mowbray signed him.
Him and Brownie had the best race I've ever seen at a bleep test, because we and Gwemlin was fit, but Brownie was not letting him win ahead. Brownie eventually done him. But no, I hate pre-season. The Canios was disgusting as well. You were not to drink water. No water. I'll be like, no, gaffer, I'm going to keel over here, mate. It's 90 degrees, I need a drink. No water, you don't need it. It's in your head, Simon, you need water. I was like, no, mate, it's in my mouth, I can't breathe.
is a kind of lager.
We actually went to pre-season once in Italy, bum. And it was really tough every day, and it was a complete, no like him at all. I've organised a barbecue with my mate. So went to a big barbecue, then went to a nightclub. I think it was like Como or something like that. It was lovely. It was really nice.
Just outside Milan.
I think we flew into Milan. So we went to a nightclub and we're in there for about an hour. And the gaffer had his Swindon gear on, standing in a nightclub. And before you know it, you look over and he's rolling about with two guys in the dance floor. So we all end up helping him out. And he was buzzing off it because we helped him after it. Had a big meeting about the next day how we helped him. But absolute madman, funny as anything, really good. But great days, brilliant.
But you could imagine the
Carrie
actually staging that just to get the team
boys.
Could you imagine him
saying,
listen,
get a mates, couple of mates,
you know, I'm
going to lay them a couple of times
and
see if the boys are
up. I can see that. Absolutely, because he's as mad as a heart.
I actually got steaming that night, right? Absolutely steaming.
There's no water now.
That's because I was drunk after a beer, so I didn't have any water. Woke up the next day and, you know, the boys are like that. Oh, mate, you were out of order last night. You pulled the assistant manager Shortston in the nightclub. And I was like, no way, you're winding me up. And they're like, you better go and say sorry to him. So I chapped the assistant's door. I was like, sorry about last night. He's like, no, out of order, what you done? So I was pure panic. He's like, the gaffer will speak to you later. But they were all winding us up. Assistant manager and everything on it. The gaffer started slotting us in front of you, but then started laughing. So,
did you not learn your lesson about pre-season when you were in Celtic? Did you not learn your lesson?
Something about pre-season, I go off my nut.
So how's it been at Peterhead then?
We've got an old guy, Stuart Hogg, do you remember him? Yeah. He was at Rangers in Aberdeen. He takes it now, so it's tough. Really tough old school running, but no, it's been good. The results have not shown that, but it has been good.
How important, I mean, again, we'll go back to Mourinho talking about, oh, I don't have my squad here and the fans should they. I mean, he's a real downer. It's almost, you can see Mourinho's DNA all over this, you can't. What he does at a stage where he's now trying to work this the exit plan, isn't
it? Right, this is, yeah, rather than a resignation letter, this is going to be the longest resignation letter in history. I think he's out before Christmas.
Why do you think he wants to win? Just because he can't compete in Man City?
You look at his CV, it's what he does at every club.
The thing about Mourinho, and he's a great manager. I mean, people know.
Is he still a great manager?
I don't know if he is now, and this is the point. I think after it comes, I think the way the football's changed now, that you've got to keep players on board. I think the big cut-off point for Mourinho always goes in, annoys players, but brings players on board that will play for him, and then it works out for two seasons. It goes a bit pear-shaped and he moves on to another club. But I think Chelsea was the great signature moment for him, because the players then decided, we don't like this manager. Mm-hmm. So the board's got to sit down and say, right, do we peel off X amount of millions to get rid of Mourinho, or do we lose Courtois? Do we lose Hazard? And you go, oh, right, quite easy. Jose, you go a minute. Mm-hmm. Bring your lawyer.
I think it's me who, you see that, you know, the players only having them in different clubs. Even it was the same at Real Madrid, wasn't it? Absolutely. See as the goalkeeper or something.
Ramos.
I was thinking back to his first time at Chelsea. I know things have changed. Looking back, 14, 15 years from when he took over at Chelsea. But Frank Lampard, Peter Cech, John Terry. They loved him.
See, in the days, he was funny, though, wasn't he? He was charismatic. Now he just depresses you when you're.
The reason I think he's loved him as well is you've got to remember where Chelsea were at that time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So he's a guy coming in who literally that's where it came from. At the press conference, he says, I'm the special one. I won, and he was.
Yeah.
He won a Champions League with Porto.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a freak, because the year before they'd won a UEFA Cup with Porto. So they're saying to themselves, you know what? This guy could get us some. We could start getting, you know, you could start getting trophies, we started getting medals. And it was very important in Chelsea that when that broke up, that's when things are. Because at Chelsea, there's in the media, there's always been a very strong reports, and that Lampard, Cech, Terry access ran the dressing room, and you had to keep in with them.
Just getting back into Roma up here, if you. Just in a light-hearted note, ever seen a player come back totally out of shape that's a quality player, but his fitness has just let him down for the start of the season?
Paddy McCourt.
Paddy.
Paddy, man. What a guy. See, Paddy was like 10 yards behind us in the warm-up.
Big John lap Paddy.
Big John and Paddy were pals ahead, but it's funny because Paddy was about 20 yards behind us in the warm-up, as I say. It was only a couple of laps around the pitch, a jog, and Paddy was miles behind us. And Tommy Gravison shouting, fucking hell, Paddy, lad! Paddy's face was beaten out in the wall. But to be fair, Paddy had a terrible back and bad hamstrings. So I just think over the summer, I think Paddy completely relaxed. Drank about 80 bottles of red wine and came back in. But then you'd get to the football, man, he'd be the best player. But the running, he absolutely hated it.
God Strack used to say it. And that was a shame, because you think such a talented guy, and there must be an element where you need a natural core fitness, and yet you think if he was able to play 90 minutes, what a player he would have been.
He was a grafter, Paddy. It was not a day we know want to work hard. He was a grafter, but his body just couldn't do it, which was a shame, because as you say, talent wise, my God.
I remember once I went to a Rangers Celtic reserve game at Ibrox. Was the first time I saw Willie McStay was in charge. I scored that game. And I went there that day, and just I can't remember. It was to do a big feature on maybe Willie
Simon.
Simon. Oh, we've done enough. We've done the books.
The release side, don't it?
And we went along and they watched him. You'll remember that.
He was brilliant. Naismith and that played
that. It was a too strong reserve. And I'm watching this and I'm going, this is the first time I've ever laid eyes on him. I'm going, what? So I went, did he want me to stay? And I went, is that him just having one of the stellar games a guy can have, you know, the ones that we all had at primary school, you know, when everyone went right now. No, I thought he wasn't that great, you know, I thought he was pretty decent today, but I've seen better, and I'm going, Willie, you're kidding, you know.
See, when Wee Stratton didn't like, you know, when Wee Stratton didn't like a defender, because he would do one-on-ones, and he would put the defender he didn't like with Paddy, just so Paddy could take the piss out of him.
Love that.
One-on-ones, he was brilliant, Paddy, he could properly take the piss out of him.
In terms of the, you were just touching something again, lighthearted, in terms of the media, down the years, pre-seasons, and they've all kind of changed, but there must have been one or two Di Canio Milan nightclub moments with the media.
Because what you remember is what people forget in those days as well, is the media and the players were all together. I mean, it was just like, it wasn't as if what you've got now to look
at. What era are you going back to, what you're talking about here?
Well, you can go back, 70s probably, after that. It all got a bit them and us. Now it's completely, I mean, you can go and tour with a club now. You can go on a week's tour, whether it's Dubai or Austria, and no talk to a player, you know, except in the very sanitised, I'm sitting down and I'm talking to you across the table because you're the player that's offered to you. I mean, even nodding to a guy, I mean, there's a thing, as you know, you're very probably not being the same hotel as him.
No chance. Nowhere near it.
No.
So I think most now you're not even flying in the plane now with the team.
Well, you're definitely. Brendan Rodgers, that was one of the first things he changed. He says, "Nah, we have our plane." You so there's this complete thing. But in the old days, you've got to remember. I always remember talking to the late great Glenn Gibbons and about, you know, how you kind of get a left back for Raith Rovers to give you an interview for your Saturday paper, and Glenn was just sort of sitting and he says, "Oh, my get out was always Wee Lou," and I said, Wee Lou McCarry, and I said, "Well, how?" He says, "Well, see if I didn't have anything for the Beatle News for the weekend." He said, "I always go down the Friday afternoon to John Smith's, the bookmakers in Mitchell Street." He says, "Now I'd always get Wee Lou in there every Friday afternoon." So Wee Lou would just cough up some. I'd put my three cross on and go up the road, and everybody was happy.
Brilliant.
I mean, would you have come in at the time where you just stand outside Celtic Park and just get a player?
Pretty much, yeah. Before it was all organised with PR and actually going back to the early 90s when I was starting, and you could build relationships with players, which is a shame it doesn't happen now. And I know there's more demands on clubs, but you know, and I know, and some of the stories I would repeat, the amount of times that we helped players get out of jam in different scenarios, whether you're stalking them. So there was relationships there, but now, as you say, you turn up, you get 10 minutes, the guy who's the football player, whether he plays for Rangers, Celtic, Scotland, probably doesn't have a clue who 90% people are in the room. You don't really get to know him apart from stock answers, and it's a shame, but that's the way it's gone.
And then what's happened as well is they just give you your name, rank and serial number. Yeah. It's like an interrogation. Because they're looking for a trap all the time. You know, you go, "Wait a minute, man, I want to sit down and see, you know, I'm no one to
try you. Let's get a bit of trust.
But that's completely gone now, because if you hear, a great thing, the Hall of Fame dinner, where Simon will be in 20 and 30 years, he'll be turning up that.
I'll be cleaning the place after he's all left.
But I always remember one of the earliest ones I was at, I think it was maybe the first Scottish Football Hall of Fame dinner, and I was sitting there and the press guys were there, Roger Bailey and Hugh McElvaney and Hugh Keevans and Glenn again. And I just watched all these people come at the table, Mark.
Yeah.
And it was like, for me as a football fan, like, I was just going, "There's Tommy Gale coming up, I'm going, hello." Graham Souness coming up. Dennis Law.
Yeah.
There's Dave Mackay. They were all coming up to, "How are you doing?" And all cheering stuff. I mean, that time in Manchester and that, like mates. I'm looking at Simon and I'm saying, "Mate, so I have to explain all that kind of, I've got a context in that later, I'll explain what that means." But imagine now, in 20 years' time, is Wayne Rooney going to come up to a table of pressmen and say, "Oh, remember that, you know, we had that?" It's completely gone.
Remember that time I blanked in the mix when I had my headphones on, I was on my foot. And yet, looking at that, what I thought was quite refreshing, and credit to them reading it, was the England media set up for during the World Cup.
Cute, they did that.
I thought, fair play to Gareth Southgate and the media team.
And he was really cute doing that as well. I was really clever because it was in their interest to do that. And what they've looked at and said, and media people all over Scotland should be doing this. And our media, they should be saying, "Why don't you want to come and interview our manager? Listen, this is our best player. Why don't you want to interview?" I mean, you've gotten 2 pages, like my job, 2 pages in the Daily Mail for free every week. And basically, I'm not interested in talking to people about, you know, obviously, you're investigating, but you're not going there with an agenda to kill some. You're going to say, "What's it like to be a footballer? What's it like to come to Scotland to play?" You know,
what sacrifices did you have to make?
How difficult what's your aspirations?
Who's your role models?
What you had in life that you've had to overcome? Yeah. Everybody thinks being a footballer is easy. "Oh, no, it's brutal, man. I was at such and such a place, and, you know, I was, you know, I had to..." For example, the whole thing about, we'll go off on a tangent, we do a podcast on this again, but the whole thing about depression and anxiety amongst footballers is a fascinating subject to discuss, because you see, it's so obvious that it would be there. It's such a brutal ruthless profession. It's ruthless. We've talked about this. Yeah. Absolutely ruthless profession to be in. Judged every day. No matter how good you are, one man's opinion. Mm-hmm. And you're away looking for a new house. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but that's all gone now.
And it also as well, just in terms of not the interaction or lack of interaction now with managers and players, but the media's role now in terms of a media man's job, a newspaper man's job, has changed so much, even just in the past 5 years.
I think Huey, so as hasn't well. It's one of the reasons I left it kind of full time. I'm now in the position where I can do what I want when I want, and that's great, and I really love it. But I can do that because I'm blessed of my age, and you know, I've got and Wayne's are up and things like that. And it's worked out great, believe it or not, Simon. Despite having to interview you, I was a low point. But you bounced back for that. You hit the gutter. One day you're sitting there.
Simon was a modern day Louis McCarry.
You're sitting there wondering, you're sitting there at the fort interviewing Simon Ferrier, you're going, where did it all go wrong? I won awards at this, Mark. And you're sitting there. But seriously, you get to do what you want, because see now, I'll laugh at, and you'll laugh too, because you're out in that respect, where they go, lazy mainstream media. And all you've got, see if you were doing a film, you get somebody going, lazy mainstream media, and you would cut to all these wee rabbit hutches, guys. 4,000 words a day. I was looking at the Daily Record the other day. The guy was at the Hearts game the other day. Hearts, Betfred, Cop.
Tony Haggerty.
Whoever was that? 2,000 words.
Yeah, 2,000 words. All the different things that go into it now, having to file online. Right. It's totally changed.
You should start up an interview programme here.
Maybe not for the better.
Who knows?
We can get back in touch on that more in the later ones when we'll get Hugh Keevens in or something like that. We'll
get a reach out.
we'll get me Hughie to.
Only two Hughes in the world, and you got the wrong man.
Talk through stuff. Right, we're into the last few minutes. We've been on, 50 minutes. 50 minutes we've been on for Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Open Goal podcast, in association with our friends at William Hill. The last 5 minutes of the programme, thanks for sticking with us. I knew that you would, because we've had some great fun, some great insights here from Simon Ferry and from Hugh McDonald. Just to round off today, a few minutes to go on this. Scottish football, decent results in Europe, albeit we've got the second legs to come on Thursday night. But are we in a good place? You think we're heading towards an even better place?
Definitely. I think the names that we've got in the league are brilliant. I mean, who would have thought 5 years ago you had Brendan Rodgers and Steven Gerrard managing Celtic and Rangers? Two of the biggest names in British football. Watched Aberdeen against Burnley, thought they were brilliant. Thought they'd done really well. And you thought, everyone goes on about the budgets that Burnley get, and I couldn't tell you the difference between the two teams. Mm-hmm. And that's a depleted Aberdeen team as well. I really hope they can go there and get a result. I really do.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
I think Hibs will get a result. Yeah. I watched bits of the Hibs. Hibs could have battered that team, honestly. Hibs missed a lot of chances. Love the way they play football. Really good teams in the league, good players in the league now. I think it's definitely on its way up. And I think only more good players are wanting to come to the league, with Gerrard and Rodgers and the BT coverage. I think it's brilliant. More players will see that. And I think it's in a really healthy state. I really do.
You look at if you look at the top six clubs from last season, Hugh, you look at them, I think we've only got two Scotsmen in there, Stevie Clark and Craig Levita, or Derek, so we've got three. And then you've got Brendan Rodgers, now got Stephen Gerrard, and you had Neil Lennon and as well. So there's a mix there of the Brits. But how good is it to see, because we're talking about Kenny Miller earlier in the programme, wanting to see a young Scot succeed in his first job in management. But how good is it to see Derek McInnes still going strong at Aberdeen? Craig Levein looking as if he's really found an enthusiasm again to be a manager. And of course, Steve Clark, who worked wonders in 8 months at Rugby Park.
Yeah, I think I always said, even when the Scottish football was poor, and it's not out of the woods, we know that. We're not going to try to be cynical. We know where Scottish football is in terms of budgets and financing it. But I always thought, with watching it, Mark, and I go to games now as a punter, I just pay into the odd game. I always thought teams were well coached. Mm-hmm. I always thought, it wasn't like, people are going, it's a public, you go and I thought, I think there's an awful lot of good coaches in Scottish football.
Yeah.
And I think, everybody's got a strategy, and you see that way. I think it's very interesting when you come, if you come to, say, Celtic Park or Ibrox, and you watch visiting teams come, and you watch the way they set up and all that, there's a method to it and all that. It's not just that, they just say, put 10 men behind the ball, etc. And teams can coach. So, the short answer is, I think it's great that Scottish coaches come through. I think there's a real place for Scottish coaches. I think there's a lot of young Scottish coaches that will do well in the game. I think there's interest in Scottish coaches where we're talking about how brutal a game can be. You say to yourself, well, Ian McCall, I think he's a top coach. I really do. And I think I've watched Ayr a few times last season.
I was there on Saturday, yeah. Hugh, at Fir Hill, and I'm glad you mentioned, just to say briefly,
Shankland.
The partnership, Shankland and Moffat, and it was lovely
Moffat's
to see.
Moffat's a clever football player.
I was so impressed with him, Simon. It was lovely to see an old fashioned partnership coming together, two up top, and Shankland's
goal.
I mean, my God, what a goal it was, 40 yards long, right over Cammy Bell. Oh, and meant it. Because I saw me just in a wee quick glance bump. Next year, so sorry to interrupt, but I'm glad you mentioned that. It was great to see McCall. He's got Sandy Stewart and beside as well, wee six aside pal, wee Sandy. So great to see him doing well.
And you look at what he did with Ayr United last year. I mean, there was the battle for Raith Rovers to go up and the way they came up. I mean, I know he's not Scottish, but I'll be a very interesting interview. Jim Goodman a few weeks ago, and I think
he's done a great job as well.
I think he's got a real chance. I think he's a real young. I know he's not Scottish, but he's Scottish.
Just another wonderful link there, Hugh. Next week, sitting in that chair will be Jim Goodman.
Oh, yes, a proper guest.
And I'll be sitting in Simon's chair, because that is a brutal game. And you've got to make decisions, Mark.
I'm just going to give the player ratings at the end of the programme. And it was Ferry S, brackets S 45.
Nothing changed there.
Not applicable.
Just before we wrap it up, we've spoken about Aberdeen. The Adam Rooney transfer to Salford has hit a lot of headlines for various reasons. Just briefly, what's your thoughts on Adam Rooney leaving Aberdeen to go to Salford?
I just think it's modern football being modern football. Simple as that. The guy gets an offer, a bit of money, he looks at it and says, my God, I can make quarter of a million a year. I'm going. Derek McInnes looks at it and goes, do you know what? I mean,
not a regular staff for him anymore.
I mean, everybody's putting his. Yeah. He's not getting rid of Lionel Messi, Adam Rooney. So I thought it was just literally football being football, nothing more than that.
I know, I've spoken to him and I said that to him as well. If I've had Adam Rooney with that ability, you're taking £4,000 in a minute.
Yeah, good luck to him. he's served Aberdeen well, and if the time comes to go their ways, then you know there doesn't need to be a big drama about it, does it?
No, I mean it's like a Gretna, isn't it? A Gretna were getting boys for the Premier League to the third division because they could pay them more money. It's
exactly.
The exact same.
And they're going, what's happening down here? Salford they've got an end game. They're saying, right, we're going to put an awful lot of money into this project because see at the end of this, we could hit the jackpot here.
Yeah.
Hit the jackpot is no winning the Champions League for Salford. Where the jackpot is getting into the League Two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we wish Salford well, of course, managed by another Scotsman, Graham Alexander.
Exactly.
So we wish Graham and Adam Rooney all the best. We wish our four teams in the European football this midweek all the best. Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen and Hibs. Thanks for joining me. I'm Mark Guidi. Thanks to Simon Ferry and our special guest, Hugh McDonald. And we'll speak to you next week. Have a nice weekend.